Amen. His love never fails, never gives up, never runs out. Great. Okay. Well, here we are in 2025, and a new year and new things for God to have us do. Are you feeling ready and raring to go for the new year? Or are you still feeling a little bit sort of jaded and just sort of slowly preparing to move into gear for the new year and the new term and what lies ahead? I thought on this first Sunday back, it might be good to have just a little bit of a mental warm-up. Nothing too strenuous, maybe. We don't want to pull a mental muscle on this first Sunday. But just to get our brains into gear for the term ahead. Now, if you were here on Christmas morning, you may remember that I said I quite like word games. Now, this isn't a word game as such, but coming up on the screen in a second are a few sayings with missing words that need completing. Now, I know generally that NMBC are quite a well-behaved bunch, but I'm going to encourage you to be a little bit unruly, okay? Break the mold so you can shout out, all right? It doesn't have to be hands up. What have we got? So a picture is worth a thousand words. Boom, good start. Appearances can be deceptive or deceiving. Very good. Laughter is the best. Indeed. Okay. Best medicine. There's been quite a lot of illness around over Christmas. There's been a lot of medicine being taken. Good for us to laugh as well when we can. Every cloud has a silver lining. Boom. Actions speak louder than words. Wow. There's definitely no cobwebs to be blown away here. Honesty is the best policy. And practice makes... You reckon? Ooh, can you say that again, Darla? Practice, man. We tend to think practice makes permanent, but you know, Darla, she's been married to me for a number of years, so she's into the tennis vibe because Tim Henman says it isn't practice makes perfect, it's practice makes permanent. And what he means by that is when you get out on the practice court or you get out and you do whatever you do, it's important you do it with the same and the right attitude that you would in any situation. Because if you're a bit sloppy about it, then you're going to basically ingrain the wrong habits. So practice makes permanent. Tim Henman and Darla said that. Now, pretty good. So far, I think I can report back to the London Baptist that NMBC are the most mentally alert and intellectually capable congregation amongst London Baptist churches. But in order to prove that beyond all reasonable doubt, I've got one more question for you. Having been through those expressions, I want you to tell me which biblical book is it that we're going to be looking at together over the course of the coming weeks? Proverbs. Boom. There we go. Proverbs. Absolutely. We've just shared together a series of kind of well-known English proverbs. And the book of Proverbs that we're going to be looking at today and over the course of these first 6 weeks of term is an example of Hebrew wisdom literature. Now, Ecclesiastes and Job are the other books in the Hebrew Bible, which together form this collection of wisdom literature. But as we think about Proverbs, I thought it might be helpful just to start with to think, well, what is a proverb? So I'm going to keep you doing a little bit of work, I'm afraid. Many of us here have got English as a first language. We're blessed to have a number of people in our midst from international backgrounds. I want to take you to take just 30 seconds to think, if you had to describe to somebody who was learning English what a proverb is, what would you say? Okay, so this is congregation participation. Turn to the person next to you. If you're with an international person, see what they think as well. If you had to describe what a proverb was, what would you say? Just 30 seconds to discuss that. Okay. Short and sweet. Would anyone like to feed back their definition? Come on, be brave. They've got it. They've got it from the Bible. I remember at Bible college, we were always taught that whatever the question is, the answer was Jesus, even if it should really be a squirrel. But here we've got the answer from the Bible. So, Kathy, thank you. Godly woman, Kathy. A wise saying and good advice for daily living. Very, very good, Kathy. Thank you. Kathy's clearly holier than me because she went straight for the Bible, whereas I went for the Collins English Dictionary to start with. And that says that a proverb is a short, memorable saying embodying a commonplace fact or experience. That's what the dictionary said. But then also looked a bit further, and Tim and Kathy Keller define a proverb as follows in their book. They've written a whole year's worth of devotions in the book of Proverbs, and their definition is this: a proverb is a poetic art form that instills wisdom in you as you wrestle with it. And there's three elements to that I quite like. Firstly, it reminds us that the book of Proverbs is poetry, and poetry, like the Psalms, deal with aspects of everyday life. Secondly, it reminds us that proverbs have an instructive or an educational value to them. Their aim is to help us to learn about life. And thirdly, they aren't always straightforward, just as life isn't always straightforward. Sometimes we need to wrestle with them a bit as we seek to apply their teaching in our own lives. Sometimes a proverb even might seem to contradict another one. Check this out, for instance. Proverbs 26:4 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him." And then the following verse, "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." So how to answer a fool is clearly not a straightforward matter. But the purpose of these proverbs here is to show that life can sometimes be a bit ambiguous, that one size doesn't necessarily fit all, and that we have to apply different judgments in different circumstances. Before we look at today's text, just one more important point concerning proverbs. This time, having looked at the video from the Bible Project and their introduction to Proverbs and to wisdom literature, I'd commend that to you. They have a great kind of wealth of material that's available on YouTube about the different biblical books. And it's important as we go into Proverbs to remind ourselves that Proverbs are not prophecies or promises, but they're a bit more like probabilities. So they present a general rule. They're based on observations and the way things usually happen in God's world. And whilst it's most likely that these things will happen, there are no guarantees, there are exceptions. So as we come to look at this book together over the coming weeks, let's perhaps view the book of Proverbs as something like this: a guide for living wisely and well in God's world, a collection of good advice or God advice for everyone in every season of life, and a mixture of holy common sense and warning. Now, the passages we'll look at over the course of the next 6 weeks are taken from different sections of the book, and we're going to focus on the following. Today, we're going to look at the origin and source of wisdom, fear of the Lord. We'll look at wisdom for direction in life, in decision making, in everyday living, in the way we speak and relate to others, and in the example that we set. So let's now, having just had a little general introduction, look together at the opening verses of chapter 1, which present the purpose and theme of the book. If you'd like a Bible, do please put your hand up and the stewards can bring those round to you. It'd be great to have the text open in front of you in whatever form, electronic or paper. Just to point out as well, there are study notes that were sent out this morning, also available down here at the front in paper form if you don't have access to email. And for those who are small group leaders or who are speaking in this series, we've got a copy of this study guide from the same series that we used for Exodus from LICC. They are available, as I say, to group leaders and preachers, and are at the back out in the hallway just on the cabinet. So please do take one of those. We're going to look today at the passage in Proverbs 1. Let's read it through together. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's begin with verse 1. The opening verse of the book attributes these proverbs to Solomon, son of King David. And back in Kings, 1 Kings 3, there's a record of how when the Lord appeared to Solomon one night in a dream, the Lord said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And Solomon's reply was to ask for wisdom. This is what he said: "Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong." And this pleased the Lord. Solomon hadn't asked for wealth and power and kingdoms. He'd asked for a discerning heart, which pleased the Lord, and who promised him, "I will give you a wise and a discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." So it's out of this passage and this incident that King Solomon became renowned as the center of Israel's wisdom tradition. It is worth mentioning, however, you'll discover as we read through the book that whilst many of the proverbs are attributed to Solomon, there are also contributions from other authors. And in fact, the whole collection was probably brought together and compiled over the course of several centuries. But as we get into the book together, we will see that wisdom is undoubtedly the central theme. Proverbs is given to us for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. And the first 9 chapters are a series of speeches, seemingly from a father to a son, contrasting the way and the benefits of wisdom with warnings against folly or foolish ways, foolish behavior. Throughout this opening section, wisdom is presented as being synonymous, belonging together with God and his creation. Wisdom is an attribute of God that he's woven into his creation. We see this explained to us, Proverbs 3:19, "By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations." Wisdom was formed long ages ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. Wisdom isn't just a question of head knowledge, however. The Hebrew word for wisdom here in this passage is chokhmah, which elsewhere in the Bible is used to describe artists and craftsmen. Wisdom is therefore something to be applied, and it has both a mental and a practical element. Mark Twain, I guess, brought this out when he was talking about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And he said, knowledge becomes wisdom only after it's been put to good use. So it's no good just knowing about it. We have to have wisdom, godly know-how, so to speak. And if Proverbs makes it clear that wisdom is an attribute of God, then it also makes it clear that the human acquisition of wisdom is built on the essential foundation of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the thing through which humans themselves can get God's wisdom. The first principle of living wisely in God's world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this concept of the fear of the Lord occurs quite often in Scripture, but rather than suggesting a kind of shaking, quaking fear of terror or dread, it's perhaps best understood as communicating a right sense of awe and wonder, of holy reverence at who God is. So the fear of the Lord involves a reverent, eager recognition that the Lord is the source of all true wisdom, of knowledge, and of guidance. It involves trusting in Him, being committed to Him and His will as disclosed in His creation and revealed by His word. Now, we've seen the mention of the fear of the Lord there in verse 7 in our opening passage. And it's interesting that it also comes back right at the final chapter of the book. Proverbs 31 describes the woman of noble character. And here, the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So we've got this idea of the fear of the Lord right at the start of the book, right at the end of the book. And it also appears a further 9 times throughout the middle of the book, tying the different elements of wisdom together. Perhaps the best known verse is in chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. Is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The whole book of Proverbs presupposes, it assumes that covenant relationship between the Lord, between Yahweh and his people Israel. And it's in the context of relationship with God that our fear of the Lord is based. Sorry, going the wrong way. Apologies. Relationship. Our wisdom mustn't be self-generated, self-proclaimed, but must emerge out of our fear of the Lord based on relationship with Him. And it's this relationship which shapes our daily decisions and our prayers as we seek to grow in wisdom and allow God's perspective to be the underlying thing that governs how we live. And just as wisdom comes out of relationship with God, it's also expressed in the context of our human relationships. So throughout the book, the Proverbs give advice for developing our relationships at home, within marriage, in the workplace. God's wisdom in all of these contexts does not lead to a dry, sterile life, but a rich, rewarding one. The wisdom of Proverbs covers the whole of life. It covers youth, it covers discipline. It covers family life, resisting temptation, warnings against adultery, business matters, use of words and the tongue, knowing God, seeking the truth, wealth and poverty. Because God's intention is not, obviously, as we know, to remove us from the world, but to help us to live well in the world. The goal is to teach us prudent behavior, to help us do what is right and fair. And ultimately, it's about shaping our character. Head knowledge is useless unless we apply it. Wisdom is built on the fear of the Lord in the context of relationship with Him to guide and instruct us for the whole of life so that our character is shaped. What kind of character? Well, it's Christ-like character. Because although Proverbs, as we've said and as we know, is an Old Testament book, it's nevertheless a gospel-shaped one. It puts God at the heart of our lives, not us. And it's through right relationship with Jesus that true wisdom is found. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, Jesus confirms that he is greater than Solomon. Paul's letters teach that Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. It's in Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The blessings of God's wisdom are now focused on the person and the work of Jesus. It's through him that we live in harmony with God and with the world. And the fear of the Lord and the way of life that flows from it find their fullest expression in relationship with Jesus. So as we go into this new year, as we go into our new series, let's take with us this key message from the opening passage of the book of Proverbs, that wisdom is built on the fear of the Lord in the context of relationship with him to guide and instruct us for the whole of life so that our character is shaped to become more like Jesus. As we seek to speak, to relate, to make decisions, to live well and wisely, let's put our trust in Jesus. Let's build relationship with him. Let's put him at the center of our lives, allowing him to shape our character and become more like him. Let's ask him for wisdom and trust him to lead us this day and every day. Proverbs 3 encourages us to do this. Let's hold on to this in this new year. Let's trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, submit to him, and he will direct our paths.